Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen, Town of Bloomington, City of Bloomington, joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Always Steve. A pleasure to be here.
Oh, you lie.
Never.
So, you know, we'll get to the we'll talk trash here in a minute, you know, but sure. Kevin and I are going to play Prairie Vista today. Are we going to be able to go off the back tees on the 18th hole at Prairie Vista?
Well, I don't know. It just depends on whether we've got the fences up or not.
Yeah, they're not up.
Okay.
I already checked in with Jason Wingate, and he said, nope.
Not yet. Got
to wait
then.
For the thaw, things to dry out, then they'll put the higher nets up.
Yeah, we'll get those up in April, probably. Jay Tetzlaff says by the end of April we'll have those higher nets up, and we'll open it as a par four for the future.
Are you a golfer?
Well, kind of. I go out and play golf.
You know, a couple of people spoke last night at the Bloomington City Council meeting, basically saying, it's a good idea to open up that 18th hole because it's a great finishing hole.
Yep.
But did it ever keep you from playing? Some people were speculating that maybe people didn't play that golf course because they made the 18th hole a par three.
No, that wouldn't stop me.
We have had people who have said they aren't coming because
really?
Of that. Yeah. And Jason Wingate estimates that that will be about $30,000 a year. That makes the golf courses pretty well self-sustaining. That was a deficit we had on them. So we'll see. You know, predictions are tough, especially about the future. But
we'll throw some money at them today.
Great, thanks.
All right, but it won't be the 18th green will still be played, or the 18th hole will still be played as a par three until they get those nets up.
All right. But I think maybe now we put that one behind us.
All right. And Kevin will just look at that as a challenge. He'll stand up there on the 18th tee and go, I think I can get over that.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you change the tees from where they are now to where they were before, what happens, it changes the angle a little. So instead of shooting more to the north, you're shooting more to the south. So that might help it as well. We'll be looking at that.
All right. Let's talk trash, shall we?
All righty.
All right. So we're going to get a little increase in our trash collection. Because, because it's a money-losing proposition. The city was losing money, even when we were told a few years ago, we'll save so much money with going with these automated trucks.
And you do.
But it wasn't enough.
Well, the reason is the automated trucks are the ones that pick up the trash buckets. That's a moneymaker. We've got companies that would be glad to come in and do that for you. The thing that is the loser is the bulk and brush. Mm-hmm. And that's what costs money because you don't have any, you don't charge for that, so you don't have a way of making up on for that. And so every year that was a deficit, and it contributed to what we call a structural deficit because it was a deficit that was built into the structure of the city, and sooner or later we had to address that. You know, I'd go back to that. You've seen the little budget in brief book before?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'm going to leave that with you here, and it's great because it gives you a little two-page summary of the budget. But one of the things that is in the cover of that, which states, it is vitally important to continue to formulate a long-term financial sustainability plan. And at the beginning of every city council meeting, we reiterate the council's five priorities, and one of them is to have a long-term, continuously evolving plan for financial sustainability. Well, you can't do any of that if you continue to put out more money than you take in. And what this was a big step to balance that, just so that the amount of money that we pay for that service is the amount of money that we get in for that service. And now the council has spoken, and we have a way to plan for that for the future.
Well, the council has spoken. People, you know, you hear it all the time, we're being taxed to death, especially here in the state of Illinois. And we just, another 100 jobs out the door last week at State Farm. So there's 100 families affected that may end up, let's just say, half of them move out of town. The property taxes, when that happens, your property values go down, and you can collect fewer tax dollars when that happens. It's just an ugly, ugly cycle.
Well, that is. That is a problem, and I understand that, but there's maybe a relationship between that, but there's not a connection between that and the cost of picking up trash. Because that is kind of what you have in Illinois. I'll tell you what, I will guarantee you one thing. as certain as the sun comes up tomorrow, those collective bargaining units are going to come back next year and ask for a 3% increase. And I'll tell you, as certain as the sun sets tomorrow, they'll get it. Now, they may not get 3, they may get 1.75 or 2.5 or whatever, but it's going to be there, and that's just the what happens in the state of Illinois. And so you got to account for that. And so when you come back down to what we're talking about trash, is you're going to have to increase the fee every year because we got to pay those guys that collect the trash. That's just a fact.
All right, so with these increases, and the fee would go up $4 a month for the 65 and 95-gallon carts. If you have the smallest cart, there won't be a change there for this year. Will that take care of the deficit that we have in collecting trash,
yes,
these increases?
Yes.
So you will be... It'll be self-sufficient.
Yeah, what we did on this is this was a two-step phase. At the last council meeting, there were members of the council that wanted to outsource the trash pickup. So we had that vote, and the vote was that the council did not want to outsource trash. So then we came back, okay, how are we going to pay for it? And we had several options, and they came back and asked us for a hybrid between reduction in the service and increase in the fee. So neither one took care of it. And there were people on both sides of it. So we came back with three hybrids. But what I told Jim Karch is you can make any combination you want, but the number's got to equal $1.1 million because that's what we had to do to balance the budget. And when we had our retreat in November, the council said trash was one of their number one things to address. And so we addressed it, and each of these options does that. So this option two that the council now voted was a slight reduction in the service and a slight increase in the fee, which will continue to allow us to collect trash, the city to collect trash. We're not outsourcing it, and we'll pay for it.
So we'll get our garbage picked up every week, as we do.
Yes.
Recycle every other week. That continues. But bulky waste, let's talk about that.
No change to brush pickup.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yep, still keep picking up brush.
So when will, you know, are we going to see here in the next, I was thinking about this on the way to work because I was checking out the curbsides, and yep, I saw bulky waste sitting in front of one house on the way to work this morning. Am I going to see more of this in the next couple of weeks because we know it's not coming to an end, but you're only going to pick up bulky waste twice a year?
Not exactly. We pick it up free once in the spring and once in the fall. So we'll mobilize our resources. People can put everything out, and we'll go out and pick it up at that time. But if you want to get it picked up any other time, we'll be happy to come and pick it up. It just costs $25 per bucket for on-call pickup.
And you can't leave it out there, obviously, or you'll get a ticket.
Right.
Okay. All right, so... number one, you've got to get to where. Do you know when the two pickup dates will be?
Yeah, I think we're starting that at the beginning of the fiscal year. I'm not certain, but I think we'll do that at the beginning of the new budget cycle.
When is that?
1st of May.
All right, so you do one in May, and then maybe just before winter, or would you do one in the wintertime? November.
Yeah,
be
probably.
6 months behind.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll have to work those details out and find out when it works, because what we do is, when I say we'll mobilize all of our resources, we'll take all the vehicles we've got in streets, in sewers, in solid waste, in parks and recreation. We'll put everybody together so we can sweep the city once in the spring and once in the fall. And that's what many municipalities do. We can work that out.
Now, I have a couch and a chair I want to get rid of. I put it out at the curb for a day, hoping somebody picks it up, and they don't. How long do I keep it out there before I'm going to hear from the city?
Well, of course, two things about that. One, you still have a free drop-off site. You want to drop it off the drop-off site, you can drop it off at the drop-off site. So that's free. Or you can ask us to come and get it, and we'll get it for $25. Or some neighbor can pick it up, or we'll be glad to come by and give you a ticket.
What did you say about a ticket?
We'll be glad to come and give you a ticket.
All right. All right, so I imagine it's one of those deals where you're going to get a complaint from a neighbor, and that's, you know, what's going to prompt all that. The patrol cars aren't going to be out looking for bulky waste on the curbsides, I hope.
No, and I can't tell you exactly how that will work out, but, you know, you we won't be able to be there the minute you put it out there.
All right. Now, you know this as well as anybody. You drive the streets of Bloomington. People still haven't figured out that nobody's going to pick up a tube TV. But yet you see them at the curb, ready to get up. How long do you think it's going to take for citizens of Bloomington to realize that bulky waste is not going to be picked up every 2 weeks?
Well, there will be an education period of time going in, but
Are you saying, is that a grace period?
I don't think it'll take long for everybody to figure it out.
All right.
We'll do a lot of advertising, and there will be the people who will get a ticket because they've had it out there and say, we didn't know about this. Well, pretty soon everybody will know about it.
All right. And you kind of answered the question I was going to throw at you this morning. It certainly wouldn't be me because I'm not handy, but a handyman who wants to do a little work on his house and has some scrap lumber and maybe some drywall. That usually goes out to the curb. It still can, but they just need to call the city, and you'll come take it away for $25.
Right, and I had that very situation a couple of weeks ago. Someone called up and asked how that worked, and because he was doing exactly that, cleaning out the bin, and he'd never used our curbside pickup. He asked how that worked. I said, well, you put it on the curbside. I put it on the curbside, and you pick it up. He said, that's amazing. I can't believe it. I said, yes, we'll do that. And he said, you know, I would be happy to pay for that if there's just somebody to come and pick it up. And I said, well, that's one of the options we're looking at. He said, I'd be happy to pay $25 for you to come and pick it up.
Sure, that's a bargain. Because what's it going to cost you to pick it up? That's a losing proposition, I imagine, for the city. You got to haul a truck out there, a front-end loader out there.
Sure, it is. But we've built that into the budget and into our plan, and we believe we can do it because, you see, we do make some money on picking up the trash, the buckets, with the automated machine, and that offsets the losses that you have in bulk and brush. Jim Karch has worked that all out in great detail. We've got that one figured out. Now, we'll gain some experience on it, and we'll know how it works, but this goes a long way to fixing it.
All right, and people want, let's say they have a 95-gallon cart that they don't fill up. Can they get a smaller cart?
Yes, they can go down to a smaller cart. But what happens is then if you end up having more than fits in there, you have to get the bag, and it's a $3 bag. So there will be some people who will get smaller carts because they don't think they use it, and they will have to pay the $3 bag, at Christmas or Thanksgiving. And that will all work it out, and I suspect there will be people to try and figure out what they want to do. Some people would like to have a smaller cart because they don't have that much trash, and they want the smaller cart to fit in their garage beside their car, and so, that will work.
All right. Hey, you want to talk about potholes quickly?
One of my favorite
subjects. As city manager, do you get calls, or does carts get all those?
Do we have potholes?
And it's not just Bloomington. It's everywhere. Who is it? Somebody showed me a picture of a cop. I want to say it was in Pennsylvania, standing in a pothole, and the guy was 6 feet tall, and it was up to like his chest.
Oh, wow.
When does a pothole become a sinkhole?
Well, potholes are a real problem, and this time of year with this winter where we've had with water and terrible freezing and then thawing, it does create a terrible problem. And, of course, the way you fix that is to do a new resurfacing of the streets. And we want to do that. We want to increase the streets resurfacing program we've got. But, it's just a question of money. Mm-hmm. And, we will come back to the city council in about, 6 weeks or so, and we will talk about the five-year capital improvement program. That's different from the operational budget that we were talking about last night. And that's where we're going to talk about what are the major things you want to put into the capital improvement program, what major things you want to do, and how do you want to pay for it. And street resurfacing can be high on that list.
Tell you what, you want to make a ton of money, come up with some kind of polymer that can fill these holes, not necessarily the big potholes, but just the smaller ones that you see. Blacktop comes in. The asphalt or whatever you want to call it, and then the plows come and rip it out a couple of days later when it snows.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my son has a chemistry major. I'm going to tell him he needs to start working on something like that.
Well, I'll tell you, the next time we can get Jim Karch or Kevin Cosey, the city engineer, in here and talk about, there are a bunch of people working on that. They are working on those things now.
Wow. You know, and it's not just the city street. It's parking lots. I mean, private parking lots and businesses. It's just it's crazy. It's the worst I can remember seeing in a long time.
It was terrible. And I'll tell you, those guys are working on it as hard as we can. And as you said, does Jim Karch get those calls? Well, Kevin does and Jim does, and I get them, and we will get out and fix them as fast as we can possibly do that.
Well, we talk about it, and the worst, the roads, to me, are the ones I travel the most, so I, you know.
Well,
Veterans Parkway,
right,
which I know
Empire.
Is not Bloomington. Empire, which is not Bloomington, right? That's a state route?
Yep.
And Main Street.
Yeah.
Main Street's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was very bad, yep.
And whoever put that layer of asphalt down not that long ago, they need to be removed from the face of the earth.
Well, I don't know who that might have been, but I'll tell you what, we will do everything we can to help on that. And I'm talking to about those state routes as well with our Public Works Department.
Right. Well, and we need to talk to them with our state senators that represent this area and our state representatives too.
We do.
Bring some money back.
Well, there's one other issue that was a big issue last night you didn't talk about, and that was we got a good presentation from Connect Transit about the downtown transit site.
They got a boatload of money, didn't they?
Well, they got some money to do a study on it, a feasibility study, and I think what we need to do is we need to get that done as soon as possible and move forward to building a transit site downtown. It is just dreadful. You know, people standing out in bad weather, trucks coming in and out of there on Front Street. There's garbage there. We need to do a transit site, and they did a good job of presenting it last night. And you've got one; it looks great, but they'll need about 2 city blocks to do that. And so we're looking what we can do. Where are we going to get that downtown? So it's going to take some creative thinking to figure out how to get that there within the belt buckle.
All right. Well, let's talk gambling machines. A moratorium on gambling machines.
Yeah.
What's behind that?
Well, there are, I think, 2 things. And of course, you could talk to the alderman who voted on that, and you could ask them. But the one thing is, there is a sensing that it is something that we don't want more of. And the city council determined that the amount of it that we've got now is all they want to put in. The second thing is, gambling machines also contribute to new locations coming up, and there's a feeling amongst the city council they don't want any more different locations, particularly ones that are near child care centers and that sort of thing. So I think all of that is moving together to try and limit the proliferation of that particular form of entertainment.
All right, but we don't know how long that'll last?
Well, 1 year moratorium.
1 year?
One year. And they'll take it back up again after that.
All right, did I nod off there for a second, Kevin?
Yeah, I think you did.
All right. Well, those short naps are refreshing.
Yeah, oh, I understand that.
All right, so anything else?
Well, I just want to tell everybody that it's a great day to be in city government, a great day to be in the city of Bloomington.
I like your attitude. All right, good talking to you. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much.
That's Bloomington Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen on WJBC.